All right, take your Bibles, turn to chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5, we're going to read verses 9 through 12. Joshua chapter 5, verses 9 through 12. We'll read this passage responsively. Joshua chapter 5, verses 9 through 12. We'll read these verses responsively. And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of this place is called Gilgal unto this day. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal, and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more. But they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us. We sure do love you. We appreciate all that you've done for us. Now, Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you'd help us today. Would you please do what only you can do, and would you work on the heart of our people? Would you work in my heart? Holy Spirit, never again will this exact crowd be assembled this way ever again. You have a message for us today. Would you please give it to us in Jesus' name? Amen. And you may be seated. All right. Apparently our special's not here. The Bible here in Joshua chapter 5 is very interesting to me. The Jews have been in the wilderness for 40 years. Now, if you'll look this way and pay attention, I think I can help you today. I've got to give you a little background so that you understand the main thought today. For 40 years, if you remember, 40 years prior to this, Moses was led by God to take the children of Israel out of the bondage of Egypt. If you remember, he went to Pharaoh many different times, and finally, after the 10 plagues, Pharaoh kicked out 3.5 to 5 million Jews. They left. They got to the Red Sea, and as they got to the Red Sea, the Egyptian army was behind them to bring them back. And everything was all fouled up, upset. Moses raised his hands and said, Oh God, help us. What are we going to do? We got the army behind us, the Red Sea before us. Now what? And God said, Just hang in there, Moses. Watch what I can do. And in the morning, the Red Sea had parted right down the middle. You had water as a wall on this side, water as a wall on that side, and dry land between them. And 3.5 to 5 million Jews and all their possessions, all their things went with them. They crossed over on dry ground, got to the other side. And when they did, here came the Egyptian army following them. And Moses says, Now what? And he said, Take that rod in your hand, lift it up, and watch what I do. And he did. And God closed up the sea on all that army. And they went glub, glub, and they were gone. Amen. Now, wait a minute. That was 40 years ago. After a few days in the wilderness, God told them, send spies into Canaan land and spy out the land because you can take it. You remember they came back and Joshua and Caleb said, let's go. The other 10 said, nope, land's beautiful. The land is productive, but giants are big and we're afraid. And the people followed the counsel of the 10 that said, let's not go in. God said, okay, you're going to wander for 40 years. Anybody over the age of 20, you'll die in the next 40 years. Wow. Now, here we are, Joshua chapter 5. Moses is dead. Joshua is now leading the Israelites. And for 40 years, they've been wandering in this wilderness. And listen to me, when I say the word wilderness, most of you think of a jungle. That's not what it is. This is Iran, Iraq. This is the desert. This is out in the middle of the heat during the day and the cold at night. This is a rugged, rough wilderness. They've been 40 years in that wilderness. Here they are. God has had Joshua get to the Jordan River, and Joshua says, Now what? He said, I want you to do what Moses did. Lift up your arms, and God held back the Jordan River, and they crossed on dry ground. By the way, did you ever notice they left Egypt to go to the promised land on dry ground, crossing a body of water? And that's how they got into the promised land. Amen? Now, wait a minute. They've stopped just west of the Jordan River in a little place called Gilgal. It's just northeast of a city called Jericho. In about 7 days, that famous story of how the Jews, once a day for 6 days, would march around the walls of Jericho, and on the seventh day, seven times around, and God would miraculously cause the walls of the city to fall, and they go in and take the land of Jericho as a tithe for God. That would be the first city to fall in the promised land. They are just outside that city. They're just about to go in, and something interesting takes place. You see, for 40 years, the Jews have been in the wilderness. They weren't growing crops. The only crops they had were every day, 6 days a week, God brought something called manna from heaven. That manna would cover the ground, and the Jews would go out and gather a certain amount every day for their family. And on the sixth day, they would gather double so that they had enough for the Sabbath, because God would not bring it on the Sabbath. And there were certain requirements that they had on that manna. Every bite of food was provided by God for them. All they did was go out and gather it up for 40 years. Also, the Bible says that the rock that Moses smote there in Horeb, the Bible says that that rock followed them, and that rock was Jesus, and gave them the water necessary for 3.5 to 5 million people, folks. I don't know how big that rock was, but it was putting out a lot of water. I don't understand if that rock was able to be picked up and put on something and carried with them. I don't know if it rolled and followed them. I don't know if it just, wherever they went, it was forcing enough water to go where they were. I do know that the Bible says that that rock followed them, and that rock was Jesus. That's all I know. Now listen, they're in the promised land. Something about it, this is that land of plenty. This is that land where God says that it flows with milk and honey. This is that land where the Jews now live. Now listen very carefully. They've crossed Jordan. They're about to take Jericho. They're sitting just a few miles northeast of that first city to conquer. God tells Joshua something very strange. He says, the people have eaten the manna long enough. After 40 years, I'd say it's long enough. I don't know about you. But I want you to notice what he says. God says to Joshua, tell the people that tomorrow they're going to start eating of the parched corn of the land, and there'll be no more manna. Wow. That's the title of my sermon today. No more manna. No more manna. All the manna will be gone. Can you imagine the insecurity? Can you imagine, I'll put it in terms we understand, shopping for 3.5 to 5 million people? Walmart and Aldi's wasn't there. Can you imagine gathering enough corn for 3.5 to 5 million people in 24 hours? Now, I've seen a lot of shopping, and I've cooked for a lot of people, but not that many at one time, amen? You cook for a bunch of teenagers, it seems like that. A 40-year habit of daily walking out your house door, your tent door, gathering up what you needed, and that's all that you needed, and coming back in. God says, I'm giving you 24 hours, and it's drying up, it's gone. Most of the people had never cooked, as all they had was manna. ladies, they were looking for recipes really fast. They were looking up mama's and grandmama's recipes that they've been carrying around because grandma and mama passed away in the wilderness. They're gone. You have to understand, every woman that was over the age of 20 died in the wilderness. There is nobody about to enter the promised land that was over the age of 60 except Joshua and Caleb. Those were the only two. Can you imagine? Okay, it's kind of like you young ladies that got married and didn't know how to cook. And you went from mama cooking to where you got to cook it. You know, Jesus was asked to turn the bread to stones, and you turned the stones to bread, and you turned the bread to stones. Amen. All those kind of things. Now, they did not have weeks and months to prepare. They didn't have weeks and days to plan. It started tomorrow. God said, the manna is going to be gone. I bet you there's some families that didn't prepare. I bet you there's some people that said, God's not going to do that. But he did. God was pretty much so saying, I have spoon-fed you long enough. It's time for you to grow up and be adults now. God was going to still provide for them, but they're going to have to do a little more work to get it. Now, our church is in much the same position that the Jews were in Gilgal. If you'll bear with me for a moment, I think I can help us. We have been in the wilderness wandering long enough, hotel to hotel, building to building, service by service. We're finally settled. God has miraculously provided, and now we even have air conditioning. Glory to God. It is time for us to inhabit the promised land. There have been some casualties along the way. God has fed us daily, and now he wants us to gather our own food. We now start the long process of planting, nurturing, reaping, storing, and doing it over season by season. God no longer is just going to let you walk out and say, here's your manna. Pick it up, Brother Gus. It's time for us to make it all happen. Now, if you'll listen to me, I don't plan on skinning you, but I've done a lot of things I don't plan on doing. No longer do we have the luxury of just stepping outside and God dropping it into our laps. Farming's a battle. Farming's a lot of work. It requires sweat. And God knows we've done that. It's time we all realize God wants us to step up and he's not going to provide manna any longer. Let me give you three thoughts and I'll be done. Number one, most of the Jews had to step up for those things that had always been done for them. These people had to step up and do things that had been being done for them. It's kind of like those of you that go to college for the first time. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You leave home and now you've got to do what's been done for you all along. You're used to throwing your clothes on the floor in a basket and mama cleans them. Now when you throw them on the floor in a basket, they stay there till you pick them up and clean them. Or turn them inside out and wear them again. I've been in the college dorms many a time. I had a roommate one time. His name was not Nash or Gelhausen. I did have both of those. But we had a roommate one time. I don't think the kid ever did learn how to wash his clothes. If he could take it off and it didn't stand upright, it was okay to wear again. It got so bad, and I mean, he went like 4 weeks without a shower. I said, fellas, it's done. We gave him a deadline. He didn't meet it. Say, what'd you do? We threw him in the shower, clothes and all. Amen. We all had scrub brushes. And I'm not talking for those little floofy ones that you ladies use. I said scrub brushes. We're jerking clothes off and scrubbing with a scrub brush all the way down to skin. Next time we said time to get a shower, he was the first one in, amen? We didn't have to do it again. Say, why? I wasn't putting up with that mess. Forget it. You see, when you go to college for the first time, there's no mama, no manna. You got to do it on your own. The Jews had to now grow, kill. They had to prepare and do all of their own food. Folks, it is time for our church to grow up and do what we're supposed to do. We've been in the infancy stage. We're gone. God's no longer providing the manna. Now we have to do it. We have a church. I could stop with that and be happy. We have a church. But may I say this, just because we throw the name Grace Baptist Church up on the end of a building doesn't mean they just come flocking in. Say, what do you got to do? We got to go out there and get them. We got to go out and talk to them. We got to go soul winning. We got to knock on doors. We got to tell people everywhere we go. We've got to go out and get them and bring them in. I'm not afraid to say this. Many of you have been churched before, and you're used to some things. There are people that are used to things, and you're upset we don't have them. I hate to say this. The man is not here. That means you got to make it happen. Everybody doing okay? Maybe God has brought you to the point where he wants you to do it and it not be done for you. I got to preach in a nursing home yesterday. By the way, I had fun. I haven't preached in a nursing home in a while. Man, did I have fun. Brother York, you and your wife were with me, and Brother Stoltz was with me. I wasn't mean, but I did preach at the nursing home, just so you know. The lady that was helping us, one of the staff members there, she came up to me afterwards and she grabbed my arm. She said, Reverend Bush, she said, you coming back here? I said, yes, ma'am, we'll be back next month. I said, it'll either be me or one of our other men, but I'm hoping to come back. I said, that is if you'll have me. She said, can you come back next week? She said, wow, you said things I've never heard anybody say in here. And they didn't get mad at you. They agreed with you. I got up and talked about how older people can get selfish, get mean and cranky. And I used those words, didn't I, Brother Stoltz? And they're all sitting in there going, uh-huh, uh-huh. I got right on their level, amen? Now, wait a minute. Now, we don't have any of those in our church. I didn't tell my dad this, but I about laughed. I had to kind of hold it. There's a lady in there, and they were going to, after I got done, found out it was her birthday. I thought, man, this lady's got to be 85, 90 years old. I said, how young are you? She said, I turned 79 today. I thought, good night, you're barely old enough to be my mama. And I was talking to them like they were grandparents, but she didn't look like she was just 79. I told them, I said, and this is a statement I made yesterday. I said, some of you get angry and frustrated because you can't do what you used to do. I said, because that, you can get grumpy because you don't get to do what you used to do. But there's still things you can do. And we started talking about things they can do. And I said, some of you get mad because some of the staff's grumpy. I said, if you wouldn't be so grumpy, maybe if you encouraged them, they wouldn't be grumpy with you. Man, did it get quiet in there for a while. Now, the lady that was running the thing sitting right in front of me, she was going, yep, come on. I'm not kidding, was I, Brother Walt? She's down there, yep. Hey, you keep the staff on your side, you get more people to your meeting next time, amen? They just start pushing them in. Oh, my. Folks, can I tell you something? If you're not careful, you'll get so used to sitting on your blessed assurance and everything being done for you that you won't do anything. Some of you may get frustrated because, well, I like having this. Well, are you doing it? No, I want it done for me. No, there's no more manna. God's provided the manna long enough. It's time we cross over and take the promised land. You say, well, I'm used to us having a choir. Good. Do you want to start one? I'm planning on it. That means you're going to have to sing. Right. Now, the way you were singing this morning, we could start the Moron Tabernacle. Amen. Wait a minute. I plan on starting a choir. But folks, you have to understand something. We've been a church for 10 months. I know churches after 10 months, I could put all their people on this platform. This isn't just your normal start. You don't have a normal anything, including pastor. At least he's willing to admit it, amen? Bunch of crazy idiots this morning texting me. Told you, I got the microphone. Right, Lowther? He said, now, Brother Bush, your son's just visiting for the summer. He's not really the teacher you are. Then he started into this, starting quoting scripture stuff, and he forgot who he was doing battle with. He was talking about the rooster crowing, and I remind him of Balaam's animal that was talking too. Getting warm, Brother Jerry? You sweating again? Your wife's not. She's enjoying it. Thought, you all want to pervert scripture, man. I'm going to throw the truth at you. Now, wait a minute. Told you, don't mess with the guy with the microphone. You're going to lose every time. Some of you enjoy, and by the way, and listen to me carefully here. I want our nursery to be the best nursery anywhere you go in the world. I mean that. When we started with brand new things. You say, why? Because I want the best for them. I plan on upgrading as we go. And the way you guys are, or ladies are having babies, we're going to have to add on. And that's okay. I have no problem with that. As long as you're doing the adding and I'm not, I'm good. Now, wait a minute. But you got to realize, as we bring in more people, that means we need more nursery workers. Don't complain about having to work the nursery. Guess what? That's growth. No more manna. I don't know how else to say it. Guess what? We're getting ready here in the next month or two to split a Sunday school class and have another Sunday school class. I got a room empty right there. We're going to put a Sunday school class in it. Say why? Because we're going to grow. Everybody doing okay? You ain't heard nothing yet. Guess what? It's time to get up off our blessed assurance and start filling it. That means this. I'm going to, now that we got air conditioning, I need more greeters. I need more folks to work doors. I need people that are going to be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We might have enough to where we can go on a rotation basis. Guess what? I don't plan on people not being here. I plan on more people coming, not less. That means we might need a couple of you fellas to volunteer for the parking lot duty a little bit more. Say, but it gets hot out there. Yeah. And I got the same guys out there. Might need your help. Man, you should have seen these guys coming in. They look worse than I did with all the sweat from being out there. Thank God somebody's willing to do it. That means, and I mean this, I kind of joked about it. We've got nursing homes that are begging us to come. Begging us. And I don't have people to put in them. Somebody's got to love those folks. I was so proud of Brother Stoltz yesterday. I got to the nursing home, and he's got his get fiddle out there, and he's playing in the foyer area. And this old lady, I don't know how old she was, Brother Stoltz. He starts talking to her. Now, she was three-fourths deaf. I'm not kidding. She was really deaf. But she's an artist. Man, she was drawing and doing stuff, and Brother Stoltz was warming up to her, and he's playing songs, and she loved it. Then he said, we're having a church service. Do you want to come? She grabbed this little thing around her neck, pulled on it, showed it to him, and She was Jewish. He played a little while longer. Then he pulled out his harmonica and really got her toe-tapping, amen? He convinced that Jewish woman to come to the church service yesterday. Nobody in there. The lady running the place said, you got her to come to church? You should have seen it. Brother York doesn't play fair. He brought his brand new baby in with him. He said, "Would you like to hold him?" She held that baby the whole church service. It was great. She heard the gospel too. Amen. Say, did she get saved? Not yet, but she got the gospel. Amen. Now, wait a minute. Some of you will miss those blessings because you're waiting for it to come here and drop in your lap. It's time to go out and get the blessings. Not just rely on God to drop it in your lap. Deacons haven't voted on this, so deacons, put your fingers in your ear. But I plan on real soon here, us as a church, hopefully buying a church van so we can start a van route. I don't have the wherewithal for a bus yet, but we're going to start a van route. Say, well, do I get to work it? I tell you what, if I got enough volunteers, I'll have a Sunday morning captain, a Sunday night captain, and a Wednesday night captain. We'll run it all three services, and you pick a service and go, amen? Say why? Because I believe in going out and reaching people. Let's not complain that we don't have it. Let's rise up and build what we want to have. Because the man is not coming anymore. Number two, we have to claim the promised land even though we have friends who will not go with us. Now, listen very carefully. I have watched people not go into the promised land for 30 years of my life. Brother Tom, I've been in ministry full time for 25 years, but for over 30 years, I have watched people that refuse to go into the promised land. That is nothing new. By the way, did you know that 2.5 tribes of Israel didn't go into the promised land? You had people that wouldn't even go into the promised land. Now listen to me very carefully. My mom and dad are here. They'll tell you the truth. We had an on-fire youth department. I mean, that thing was just humming. I really believe in my home church where I was growing up, it was the teenagers that sparked revival in that church more than anything. And I mean, it was on fire. But it's pretty sad. Of the couple dozen teenagers that surrendered to go to full-time service, I'm the only one in it now. Say why? People refuse to go into the promised land. I surrendered to preach at the same time other teenage boys surrendered to preach. I'm the only one preaching. I surrendered to preach and go into full-time service as dozens of our girls surrendered to full-time service, and none of them are in full-time service. Say why? Because they refused to go into the promised land. I went to Bible college. My freshman year, there was over 500 freshmen. When I graduated, there was less than 225 of us that graduated. 4 years, over half of them fell out. I have people that I graduated from Bible college with that aren't even in the ministry, and I have people that I preached with while I was in college who aren't even Baptists anymore. Say why? Because they won't go into the promised land. I don't care what college they graduate from, what are they doing now? Everybody doing okay? Okay. I've watched church members drop out by the thousands over the years. And I mean thousands. I've watched preachers preach for sometimes many years, and then they give up. They just give up and say, I'm not going to the promised land. I know of a preacher in a distant state, won't tell you what state. He used to come preach at our college. If I mentioned his name, probably 25 people in here would know him. He used to preach at our college. He used to get folks from our college to go work for him. Been in the ministry 25, 30 years. On fire, soul winning, aggressive, good church, good man. Got tired of the battle, got tired of losing people, and one day in his church service got up and said, folks, I have misled you all these years. No longer will we preach standards. No longer will we go soul winning. We'll shut our buses down, and we're going to have a contemporary church. And now in that church, they play rock music and have no soul winning. Watch it happen. Say why? Don't want to go to the promised land. it'll be a cold day where the booger man lives before we have that here. As long as I have breath in my body, we're going soul winning, we're going to reach people, and we're not going the contemporary route. Say why? Because that's not God's plan. Not at all. Everybody doing okay? I'm going to make a statement here. God did not command us to go to the promised land if our friends go. He commanded us to go. I've left a lot of friends in the wilderness because I'm not waiting on them. I'm going to claim Canaan land. I don't care, and I want you coming with me. I'll lead you there, but guess what? If you don't come, I'm still going. I'm not planning on slowing down. I plan on speeding up. Say why? I don't make my decisions based on my friends. I make my decision based on my principles, and the principles are found in the Word of God. I want you to come. I don't want to lose anybody. By the way, those that are in the wilderness, if they want help, I'll help them. I'll even go back and get them and bring them in. Don't you? But I will. Say why? Because if you go, you'll get stray yourself. You see, my friends may come that are lagging behind if I'm strong enough to make it. You know, I found out a long time ago, the farther I go, the more it encourages people to come behind me. I have people that have given up before, and they said, look, Brother Bush, you're still making it. Yeah, come on. It's okay. The water's fine. You can cross Jordan. Come on. You can make it. You can make it. Maybe they're looking for you to go into the Canaan land before they come. Some of you will reach your friends by continuing to go forward, not stopping like Lot's wife and turning towards Sodom. God's wanting you to get to the promised land. Now listen very carefully here. The end goal is being close to God. It's not building a big church. I do believe the bigger and the closer to God you get, the bigger the church will become. Say why? Because you can't get close to God without telling others about Him. You can't get close to God without being excited about the blessings of God. And I know this, the more excited I get, the more God does. The more I praise Him, the more He gives me. Guess what? The answer is not slowing down, it's getting closer to God. Say, well, I just don't like that. Do you think I like everything? There's some things in life you do not because you like it, it's because you're supposed to do it. I don't like getting up in the morning, do you? But I do it. You know, the last couple weeks, this low pressure system has sat right on top of Martinsburg. Say, how do you know? Because I've had a knife stuck in that hip and a knife stuck in that knee for about 3 weeks now. There's not a day in the last 2 or 3 weeks I haven't gotten up thinking, oh Lord, not again. Say, what do? You go back to bed? No, I get up and go do what I'm supposed to do. Amen. Well, it hurts. Okay, I work while I hurt. Amen. That's the way it goes. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Well, I just don't feel like paying my bills. Okay, after long enough, they'll come take everything you have, and you'll feel like paying it. Some things you do because you're supposed to do it, not because you feel like doing it. I don't feel like paying taxes. Especially as much of them as we have to pay. I don't feel like paying $4 a gallon for gas. But it doesn't make it right for me to go steal it. Everybody doing okay? Well, listen to me very carefully. So the goal is to be close to God. By the way, to be close to God, you'll go by yourself. Just so you know. But I promise you, the closer to Him you get, the more you'll pull your friends your direction. I promise you. Dear friend of mine, about a year ago, said, Brother Bush, hang in there. Give it a year. There's people that are for you now that'll be against you. There's people against you now that'll be for you. Don't worry about it. It's been that way for 30 years. It's true. And by the way, there are people that used to be with us here, and they're not against us, though they're not with us anymore. Some have gone to do other things, and I'm not against them. Don't try to misread what I'm saying. Not everybody that has come and visited and gone, or maybe even joined our church and gone, is mad at us. By the way, if you have that mentality, get right with God. I'm tired of you judging them. I loved what Brother Tom said in Sunday school this morning. Who are you to... Okay, vent for a second. Planned vent right here. I get tired of this Christian deeper life garbage that's going around. Well, I can't judge somebody's salvation, but I can judge their fruit. Show me that in the Bible. I'm a fruit inspector. You're a judge. You're a fruit cake is what you are. Well, I don't see any evidence in their life that they're a Christian. Who made you God? What right do you have to judge anybody? Should we follow you around and find out what kind of Christian you are? Just thought I'd throw that in there. Number one, they had to step up to do things that had been done for them. Number two, we have to claim the promised land even though we have friends who will not go with us. By the way, I have friends that have gone on to heaven. They're not with us. Good night. I think now I know more people in heaven than I know on earth. Number three, and I'm done. The workload will increase. But also, the more work allows us to reap more. Did you catch that? The workload will increase, but the more work means we have more to reap. There used to be an old statement around, the harder I work, the luckier I get. The harder I work, the more success comes my way. Can I tell you something? You can't replace good old-fashioned work. It does not say you'll have fast results. We live in an instant society. We live in microwaves. Now, you don't live in it, but we live in the microwave philosophy where you push the button and 30 seconds later, everything's bubbling hot. You live in text messaging and instant messaging and email. Used to be that you couldn't wait to go to the mailbox. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Good night. I remember Bible college. I'd pray, oh God, put something in my mailbox other than a spider. Y'all know what I'm talking about, you old timers? Good night, you prayed for the mailbox. You say, why? Just to hear something from somebody. Now, they don't even know what a mailbox is. They think that's the little app on their phone that you push for email. Got down to where you live, didn't I? You know, when you start farming, it takes a long time to reap what you sow. I enjoy hunting, and I hunt on a farm near here. The man that owns the farm and runs the farm, it's amazing, about deer season, he's planting winter wheat. He'll go out there in October, November, and plant winter wheat. Do you know when he just cut that stuff off? End of June. He planted it back in October. October, November, December, January, February, March, April, May, June. He waited 9 months to get that stuff. 9 months. Say, why were you hunting in those fields? Because he would want me killing the deer so they don't eat the wheat, amen? I've looked out there and seen 30 and 40 deer in one field, and buddy, they can mow it down in a hurry. You see, maybe you're a cattle or an animal farmer. They don't reproduce 30 times a year. You know, it's not Polaroid babies, you know. There they are. Man, it takes a long time. Y'all doing okay? Can't have fun in church, where are you going to have it? Amen? Come back tonight. We're going to have a lot of fun. Trust me. You know, you raise cattle. It takes a long time to build up the herd. Listen to this statement. Canaan land, God called it a land that flowed with milk and honey. I'm going to borrow a quote from Brother Hiles. Somebody had to milk them cows. If it flowed with milk and honey, guess what? Those cows, you just didn't walk up with a cup and put it underneath and say, fill her up. It don't come out that way, does it? By the way, if you ain't never milked a cow, you haven't worked before. That old tail full of manure slapping you in the face. That old cow not wanting to stand there and start kicking at you. Y'all know what I'm talking about that have done it. And it's not a one time a week thing. It's twice a day. Man, you got to constantly be, and by the way, for a land to flow with milk, and by the way, honey, you get those from bees. Somebody had to harvest the honey, and I don't know about you, but you get into a hive of bees, and if you don't know what you're doing, you're getting out in a hurry. Now, wait a minute. Very productive land, but guess what? They had to work it. We have to stay at the work of God, or it'll get out of control and the weeds and the terrors are going to take over and destroy the crop. Last week, it was time to get back in the garden. I only let it go for a couple weeks. Lord have mercy. Brother Taylor, in 2 weeks, I took out an entire wheelbarrow load of weeds. 100 degrees outside, and I'm out there on my hands and knees pulling weeds out. And the pile keeps getting higher and higher and higher. I'm thinking, wait a minute, it's sinking because they're wilting, but it's getting higher because of the quantity. How in the world? It got out of hand. I let it go too long. It got so bad, I was wondering if I was pulling out weeds or pulling out what I was supposed to have in there. But I was so hot, I didn't care. I'm thinking, shoot, get the stupid rototiller and turn it all over and start again. Hot enough, it'll be up in a couple days. Doesn't work that way, does it? If you're not careful, you're going to let the weeds and the tares in your life take over to where you don't produce. Let me say this. Those of us that have been farther along need to help those that haven't done it before. There are people, though you may be older than I, you've not done what I've done. Guess what? Time for me to slow down so you can catch up. Now, not slow down, but say, come here, let me show you what to do. Say, what about soul winning? Let's go. You just come out, we'll show you what to do. I'm not going to take you out the first time and expect you to know exactly what to do. Say, well, I don't like people. Neither do I. And I told those older seasoned citizens yesterday at the nursing home, y'all scare me. They thought I was kidding. I wasn't. Most of those people have forgotten more than I know. It's a little intimidating. Now, wait a minute. Do you think everybody in the world enjoys going out knocking on doors? Talking to people that just love people from church? I've had more doors slammed in my face than have been opened, I promise you. I hate to tell you, not everybody wants to talk to the preacher. Matter of fact, usually when they find out what kind of preacher I am, the door shuts even faster. Been there, done that. But guess what? God didn't say go do it until you find somebody friendly. God just said go do it. You're not accountable for how people receive. You're accountable for just going out and giving. By the way, we'll take the time. We'll train you. I'll put you with somebody. I'll take you. Whatever it takes, we're going. Amen? So, well, I just don't know what to do. Show up. We'll show you what to do. It's that simple. guess what? There's people in here, you have musical talent. Time to start using it. But I'm going to make a statement here. Don't get mad at me. You're going to live right before you get up here and start singing. Say why? Because your testimony needs to back what you're singing a little bit. You're an example. You need to step up, not step back. Everybody doing okay? I want people that are going to be filled with the Holy Spirit up here singing before I preach. I don't need somebody up here performing. We can go hire a rock band to perform. I don't want performers. I want people that are filled with the power of God. I want people that are close to God, because as you're standing here before I preach, I want the Holy Spirit on you so thick that people are ready to hear the word of God. It's not just because I think that I would be more successful if you were out soul winning. No, I need the power of God on every part of our service. That man sits in my office before every service. He'll tell you, I say, Holy Spirit of God, would you fill us with your power? Would you fill the music? Would you fill Brother Smith as he leads the music? The ladies who play the music. Would you fill me with your power as I lead the service and preach today? By the way, before you ever stepped on this property this morning, I walked to every door and prayed for every person that would be greeting at a door. Walked out in the parking lot and prayed for the men that would be parking cars, that the power of God would be on them so that people would understand that. Say why? Because I think it's that important. Stopped at the nursery and prayed for all you ladies doing your tour of duty today, amen? And I understand that. So that the babies and the mamas would know that we have spirit-filled nursery workers. Stopped at the 3 to 5-year-old class and did the same thing in the teen class and the agape class and Brother Loke's class, 1st through 6th grade, and stayed here in the auditorium for Brother Williamson's class. You say, why? Because I believe in getting God involved in this. This is his work, not our work. Say, what is it? This is our Canaan, and it's time to go in, and there's no more manna. God's not going to baby you anymore. By the way, God will still be providing. He just wants you to work a little bit more for it. Never forget. I was back from college, or mom and dad were at college visiting for a couple days. I looked at my dad. I'm 19 years old or so. I said, Dad, how do you know when you're ready to get married? That's a dumb question. You're never ready. After he got through that statement, he said, that's easy. When you're able to provide for somebody else, everything that's been given to you your whole life, you're ready. So when you can pay the gas bill, the electric bill, pay for the car, pay all of your bills, and take care of the food, and take care of all of somebody else's needs, then you're ready. Get that statement? When you can provide for somebody else what's been given to you your whole life, then you're ready. In other words, when there's no more manna and you can still survive, you're ready. Grace Baptist Church, no more manna. It's time to take the step. By the way, Jericho's next. They're going to watch God do miraculous things because they step out in faith. Can I tell you something? It's a little fearful. 40 years of the same thing. 40-year habit, they're ready for it. God didn't give them a week. He didn't give them a month. He didn't say 6 months from now. He said, tomorrow you're going to not have any manna. Better get busy. It wasn't like it was a process to get ready. He said, no, go get it now. I always found it humorous. God led them into Canaan land at harvest time so that he could take care of their needs, but they had to do the harvesting. There's no more manna. God's not just going to drop it in your lap. It's time for us to step up. Say, but what if so-and-so doesn't step up? You just keep stepping up. Maybe they'll follow you. They may have been at your side or leading you before, but just step up. It's okay. I promise you, Canaan land's worth it. Being close to God is worth it. Going on is worth it. I promise you, every head bowed, every eye closed. Some of you need to just decide you'll trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Who would say, Brother Bush, if I died today, I know 100% sure I'd go to heaven. I'll not lie about it. I'm not going to lie to you. I won't lie to God. Who'd say, Brother Bush, I know that for sure. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who would say, Brother Bush, if I died today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know. I won't lie to you. And by the way, I won't point you out. I won't embarrass you. Who'd say, Brother Bush, that's me. I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, Brother Bush, I needed that. I needed that. Area of my life, or maybe several areas of my life, I've been waiting on God to bring the manna and didn't realize the manna's not coming anymore. It's time for me to do a little bit more. Brother Bush, I need that in my life. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Scores and scores and scores and scores of hands. Maybe today you need to come and join our church. You'd be more than welcome to. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion, you can. Maybe you need to get baptized today. That's fine too. If you're over 18, we can do it. If you're under 18 and we have parental permission, we can do it. I don't know what the need is in your life, but you do.